This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, nobody. A solo pod, just me. I'll start here with Knicks and Pacers, look a little bit into the NBA Finals, then we'll come back, we'll do some baseball. Be a quicker show, and the show is this show is about to change temperatures, change seasons, because for all intents and purposes, at least my opinion, and this will lead into my thoughts in the NBA Finals. And again, I'll get to Knicks Pacers here in a second. The NBA season in the competitive portion is just about over in my mind. We'll start to do more, you know, baseball. We still have a Stanley Cup final, probably do a show here or there on that. You know, college baseball, MLB, start to look ahead to football, because to my mind, we've done a lot of NBA playoffs the last couple months since it started. It's been a pretty good NBA playoffs, but to me, the Pacers beating the Knicks Saturday night in Game 6 just about ends it, because I do not buy this idea that this is going to be a competitive final. Of course, we'll still do it. You know, keep an eye on it, but this is going to feel different now. It just feels like the season is over. I've seen a lot of this since the game ended on Saturday night. Oh, great final. This is going to be a tremendous series. I think that is complete nonsense. Pacers and Thunder are minus 700 to win the series. So the market is not expecting a tremendous series. It's fun. Pacers are a fun team. Okay, he's a fun team. I get it from that perspective. But OKC laying 9 in game 1. Plus 330 at FanDuel to sweep, I think, is a good bet. Again, not to be completely dismissive of Indy, but this to me is a mismatch, and you know you're fighting fire with fire, because Indy likes to press and play up tempo and run and all this stuff, and I think you're playing right into Oklahoma City's hands. This is not the Knicks, so let's get to that now. Tough night for the Knicks fans on Saturday into Sunday, and to look at it one of two ways. In a lot of ways they overachieve, but in a lot of ways they underachieve, because they deserve better in this series. They just completely gave away game 1. We should probably be sitting here talking about a game 7. Now, you could also say, you know what? Game 3, they're down 20, about to be down 3-0. This is a justified result. Maybe. Regardless, and I've heard a lot of this since the series ended. A lot of Knicks fans coping by saying, oh, we're so close. We're so close to being a contender. You're really not. I mean, coming out of the East with the way the West and the East are just separated in terms of talent is just not the same as winning a championship. Coming out of the East does not mean you're a title contender. I still don't, even though Indy's in the finals, I guess you technically have to consider him a finals contender. There is a huge, huge gap between the West and the East. And you know, you can make a case the three best teams in the league were not only in the same conference, but were on the same side of the bracket in the same conference, with Nuggets, Thunder, and Clippers. Nuggets and Clippers in the first round, leading into Nuggets and Thunder in the second round. I think those are probably the three best teams in the league. So this idea that, well, you could have made a finals, you absolutely could have made a finals. But the idea that you're this close to winning the title, I just don't buy. I don't buy the idea that you have some great trade package for Giannis with Towns and Ananobi and some picks. I don't think that is nearly enough to get it done. Why does Milwaukee want that? If you really wanted Giannis, and this is blasphemous to a lot of Knicks fans, I'm sure, and I'm sure they'll hear this, no way, we would never do that. If you really wanted Giannis, your best asset is Brunson. You'd probably have to figure a way. And I don't know that Milwaukee would want Brunson, because that would just kind of put them in no man's land. Maybe they would. Maybe you could trade Brunson somewhere else. Somewhere else, that other team trades picks to Milwaukee, because I think Milwaukee wants younger players and picks. Milwaukee ideally wants a rebuild. You'd have to cough up Brunson and other stuff. That's how you would get Giannis. I don't think you can get him with Towns and whatever. I mean, Ananobi's a nice player, but to me, Towns, Ananobi, and whatever else, give me a break. Where this really went wrong for the Knicks, I'll get to the game itself here in a minute. But man, you watch the Knicks and you really get to know these teams over the course of a 6-7 game series, over the course of a postseason. Trading 5 first rounders for Mikal Bridges is an awful, awful trade. I didn't like it at the moment. I hate it now. It's so bad. I mean, he doesn't defend well. He's very cautious, very passive when it comes to going to the basket. I mentioned the play in game 3 where it was 98-96 in the last minute or two. And he goes to the basket. It looks like he's got a dunk. Maybe he gets fouled, maybe both. And he just circles around the basket, kicks it out. He's just a very passive player. He's not a great defender. He's not a great shooter. He's not a great anything. He's just an okay player. The player we saw him be with the Suns, where he was a great third banana, that guy hasn't been there for the Knicks. He's an okay player, but he's nowhere near a player you give up 5 first-rounders for. I know a lot of Knicks fans will say, I want to get rid of Thibodeau. That'll solve everything. I don't think they'll do that. I can't argue that. I think Thibodeau, somebody made the comparison. He's Buck Showalter. That's a great comparison where he's good to get you in the playoffs and maybe win a round or two. And some of it was bad luck with Showalter, but he just can't get you over the top. There's a ceiling with him. I think there is some truth to that. There is a little Showalter in Thibodeau. But you can bring in Michael Malone, who's won a championship. Well, he's not bringing Jokic with him, who he's coached for the majority of his career. You could bring in Malone. Does that solve all your problems? Does that make you a title contender? Maybe makes you a little incrementally better. We'll see. But again, I don't think they'll do that after going to a conference finals and being 2 wins short of an NBA finals appearance after this team hasn't been to a conference finals in forever. I can't see them doing that. But I couldn't argue with that. But again, it makes them a title contender. I think that's a stretch. I think that is a big time stretch. So, as far as the game itself was neck and neck, felt pretty good about the Knicks down one with the ball with like 40 seconds left in the first half. And, all right, here they are. This is how you do it on the road. You hang around, maybe take a small lead into the half, and then go from there and try to close it out late. Just hang around and make it a 50-50 game with a few minutes left, and they were on track to doing that. Down one with the ball, maybe you can hit a three, get a stop, and go into the halftime up 2 or 4 points, something like that. Empty possession at 53-52. Indy hits a three at 56-52, a turnover, and then another score for Indy. And all of a sudden, they're down six. They did hit a shot at the buzzer to make it four, which felt somewhat important. That, all right, that would have been a rough scenario there. 40 seconds left, you're down one, and you have the ball, and you go into halftime down six. It was down four, but it was quickly after halftime. It went from 4 to 9 to 15. Knicks had a couple of different runs. They cut it to 8 one time and 9 another time. I remember one sequence they cut it to 8, and then Shamet had a three, and then DeLon Wright had a three, and they just went another 3 or 4 empty possessions at 8, where it could have been, a couple scores here or there. It's back down to 2 or 4, and the building starts to get tight. Brunson sat for some of those stretches. Then it gets to 15 again, and they had a chance. It looked like they cut it to 9. I never saw a good replay where it showed McBride was out of bounds. But at down 12, McBride hits a three to cut it to 9. They wave it off, which was news to Kevin Harlan. Kevin Harlan was awful in this game. People rave about what a great announcer was. He is losing his step, or he's just not that good. He had no idea what they call there. There was another and one. He was Reggie or Van Gundy had to tell him, oh, they called that a foul and a bucket. There was another one where he was raving about a block. He had no idea it was a foul. Van Gundy goes, they called the foul there. Harlan is so overrated. It's ridiculous. But I never saw the angle at down 12 to the three to cut it to 9, and then they wiped it away. I never saw him definitively out of bounds. Some of the screenshots, maybe they were late, maybe he got his feet in after, but some of the screenshots that I saw, he was in bounds, and TNT didn't do a good job showing the replays and really examining that. And off of that, Obi Toppin comes down and hits a three. So instead of being down 9, which you should have been, which you thought you were, it's back to 15. It really never got close from there. McConnell hit big shots. Knicks would come up empty, and it was a party in Indy from there. So tough night for the Knicks again. Part of being a sports fan is just your teams give you great seasons. You're not going to win championships, not only every year, you're not going to win championships very often. So if you're only happy when your team is winning a championship, you're going to be pretty unhappy following sports. And I understand Knicks fans are disappointed. They should be disappointed. That's a tough loss. That's a series you could have won. That's a game one that's going to stick with you for a while. But look, you were probably going to go to the finals and get your lunch handed to you. But you wanted that moment. You wanted that moment, those few days where the Knicks were a finals team and you could dream and you could say, well, maybe we can steal game one. And who knows? You wanted the chance to have a chance and you didn't get that opportunity. So, but this sort of revisionist history here that the Knicks are title contenders and they're so close and just a tweak here, tweak there in the offseason, and they're going to be right back in the mix and have a chance to win a championship. I don't buy. Now, look, with the way the East is watered down with Tatum's injury, Celtics not really a factor. Giannis doesn't have much around him. Maybe he gets traded. I think that's very possible, if not likely. The Sixers are a mess. We'll see if Indy can do it back-to-back years. We'll see what Cleveland's offseason holds. The East is pretty wide open, so not impossible. You pretty much run it back with if not the same team, a similar team, and you're back in a conference finals. I think that's doable. I think that's reasonable. I've mentioned this before, though, with the Knicks. It's one thing to go from really bad to decent. The Knicks were really bad, a laughing stock for a long time. It's one thing to go from really bad to decent. It's another thing to go from decent to good. Those things are doable. It's very hard, especially in the NBA. It's very hard to go from good to great, from good to a title contender. And the Knicks are seeing that now. They've run into a wall. It feels like this team has, I don't want to say second, third round max potential, because they were just in the conference finals with home court advantage. And you know what? If they don't piss away game one, they could very easily be in the finals. But this is not a normal final scenario, because this is just such a weaker East. But it does feel like they have capped out at second, third round kind of team. This is not a title contender, and they've used a lot of their assets. Again, the Bridges trade was a disaster. The Towns trade was still an interesting one. Towns is not my favorite guy. Saved him in game three, but you know, for that contract, I mean, Towns is making $55-60 million in the next couple of years. He comes and goes in these games. The thing is, Brunson and Towns, neither of them are great defenders. And can you really have a title contender when you have a center and a point guard who are huge liabilities on defense? Can you make the rest of the team strong enough defensively to live up to live with that? I don't know that you can. I don't know that you can. So to me, OKC is going to win this championship here, -750. -700. I was saying this before on one of the shows on VSiN on Friday. I think if OKC were to lose this series, it would be the biggest upset in finals history, at least in my lifetime. I know Lakers Pistons was right around the same line, interestingly enough, -700. The Pistons beat them in five. And part of this is looking back, say, oh, well, the Lakers were old. That was the Karl Malone, Gary Payton. They should have never been that big a favorite. Well, you know, they had won three out of the last four championships. They just smoked the one seed Minnesota in five games that year. We weren't thinking that at the time, so I was trying to think at the time what I have thought that that was a huge upset. It was. I don't remember my mindset going into that series, but this would be bigger in my mind. Again, I don't remember being if I was shocked. I think I was surprised, but I don't remember how shocked I was. But either way, this is on the you know, on the short list of biggest upsets of NBA Finals, if not the biggest upsets, just because I think OKC is so much better than Indy, and I think a sweep at +330 on FanDuel is very much in play. Game one here will be on Thursday. And last thing on this before we get to baseball, just don't know how much juice there's going to be for this series. It's two smaller markets. I like the fact that neither of these teams, and you'll hear this a lot, OKC hasn't won a title, or they did win a title in 1979. It was the Sonics in 1979, and they've obviously changed to the Thunder. Does that count? I think it does. But the city hasn't won one. So it's been a long time or a while for either one of these. That makes it fun, but I don't know. Is the average fan gonna, especially with a 5-day layoff here? I mean, the game ends Saturday, and then we got to wait till Thursday for A, a mismatch, B, two smaller markets. SGA is a great player, but he's not a polarizing guy. People don't hate him or love him. He is what he is. Halliburton, I don't know. I'm sure Knicks fans will. That'll be interesting. Will Knicks fans tune in to hate watch and root against the Pacers, or will they just be so bummed out they won't really want to watch it? That I'm not sure of, but I don't sense a lot of juice here. I don't sense a long series. I've seen this a lot. Well, great matchup. This is going to be a tremendous series. Nonsense. I think OKC is going to run them off the floor. I think it's trying to fight fire with fire. If you're going to beat OKC, you need to slow them down. You need to do what Denver did. You can't play their game with them and fight fire with fire. You can't run with them and press them and try to run them off the floor. That's not going to work well, because OKC can do that. It can just do it better than them. So I think this is an ugly, short, lopsided series. And pretty soon here, we'll be talking about NFL offseason, college football previews, whatever happens in the NBA offseason. Baseball will be doing other things, because I think these NBA playoffs will shortly be wrapped. But coming up next, we'll dive into a little Major League Baseball, catch up on that. Haven't talked baseball in a while, so that is next. This is Should a Bit More Podcast. All right, we are back. Should a Bit More Podcast. Talk a little baseball. Been doing a lot of NBA the last month or two, mixed in some baseball here or there, but not a ton of baseball. Let's get to some Major League Baseball. And the college this weekend was wild. Vanderbilt gets eliminated and upset at home by Wright State on Sunday. That game was wild. And Wright State should have beat them Friday night. Had a no-hitter in the sixth, seventh inning. Guy had 76 pitches. The coach takes the pitcher out. They blow the game, but Wright State eliminates Vandy. Vandy gets knocked out. Georgia gets knocked out. A lot of wild upsets. Going to be excited to talk to Matt Grissom again another week or so. Maybe he's ready for the Super Regionals, the college
World Series. We'll do a lot of college baseball, especially with the NBA looking like it might be lopsided here in the finals. But Major League Baseball, record this as the Yankees look to be in good shape to salvage a win in Dodger Stadium, up 4-1 as we're recording this. You never know. Dodgers were down 3 runs on Friday night, and that was a lot of fun. Judge homers in the first inning on Friday night. Ohtani hits one and then hits another later on. But why Major League Baseball allows that game to be played, 10 o'clock at night, 10:10 start on a Friday night on Apple TV when you got the two biggest teams, all the biggest stars, is the stupidest thing. Baseball does some stupid things. Dodgers blow them out. Saturday, Warren was awful, win 18-2. It looks like the Yankees might get a game here, but just big picture, it's a lot of what we talked about so far this year. I mean, the difference between the AL and the NL is just stark, because as much as you look at the Yankees and talked about, don't love the team, they lose Soto. I mean, their offense, their bullpen is pretty good. There's really, unless you really believe in Detroit, you have to make the Yankees. And I would have never thought I would be saying this that Sunday night in December when Soto signed with the Mets. I never thought I'd be lauding the Yankees and their chances to get back to a World Series. Now, who they play, if they play the Dodgers, and certainly would not count out the idea of a rematch. You take your chances when you get there, but I think they have a very, very good chance here to get back to a World Series. I understand Detroit will be tough. You see Skubal 2, maybe 3 times in a 7-game series. I get that, and he'd be really, he's as good as it gets. He's almost unhittable. But does Seattle scare you? Cleveland, Houston, Minnesota, those are the 5 playoff teams right now, with Detroit leading, Seattle leading, even though they're only +8 in runs. And their closer's been bad. I got a best bet in that department coming up here. But Cleveland, Houston, Minnesota are your wild cards. 26 losses and then 27 and 27. Right behind that, Toronto's only 1 loss out of a playoff spot. Kansas City, 2 losses out of a playoff spot. Tampa, 2 losses out of a playoff spot. And then Texas, Boston hanging around. Boston, 3 games under .500. That was a nice 2 out of 3 they got in Atlanta. Angels are 6 games under. Forget it. They're not making, they're not a playoff team. The A's have been kind of a sneaky team, a team I've liked the last year or two more than, I thought they had some potential, right track, all those things. They've been really bad. They're 14 games under. And how about Baltimore? We spent so much time last summer talking about this Yankees Orioles race, and eventually Boston got on the fringe of the mix. This great Yankee Baltimore race, and it looked like it'd be not just a race last year, but a race for the next, 3, 5 years. Baltimore with all this young talent, they are 22 and 36. They're 14 games under. The only team with a worse record than Baltimore in the American League is the White Sox. And even Baltimore at 14 under is only 9 out of a playoff spot. So it's a very watered down American League. Looking for a bet. I keep waiting for Texas to make a run, but every time somebody like Seager comes back, he gets hurt again. And once he comes back, like today, they put Eovaldi on the IL. DeGrom has been good, but he hasn't been great. So maybe Texas can make a run. I still think there's a chance for Boston to make a run. Crochet with a big time performance on Sunday to get that series win in Atlanta. Maybe some of these young guys can gel, produce in the second half. Maybe there's a trade on the horizon. +240 to make the playoffs for Boston. I don't think that's terrible. Texas is around the same, +230 to make the playoffs for either one. I don't think those are bad bets, but the big picture is just, man, the American League is so much worse than the American League. As far as the National League, Cubs, Mets, and Dodgers all lead their divisions, but the Mets and the Phillies here are basically what a game separates them. That one's coming down to the wire. I can't put Atlanta in the mix. Atlanta's an interesting team, and they're actually looking up to Washington in the standings, which I don't think a lot of people would realize. Mets a game lead on Philly, 37 and 22, 15 over. Philly's 13 over. Now, part of that is the Mets just got off a series with the Rockies, but look, Philly's already played the Rockies a couple of times here. So, boy, the Rockies are just the free spot on the bingo card. But Atlanta, 4 games under, they started, the bad start where, 0-7, 2-9. They finally got their way back to .500 at 22-22. They've slipped now to 4 under. Now, I know they have Strider back. I know they have Acuna back. And man, they're only 3 games better than the Marlins. They are -140 to miss the playoffs. They're 4 games under. They're only 5 out of a wild card, but they have in front of them right now, the wild cards would be Philly, San Diego, and then San Fran and Atlanta. San Fran and St. Louis have identical 33 and 26 records. So They'd have to sort that out. So it's four teams for three spots right now. Right behind them is Milwaukee, Cincinnati, Arizona. Arizona lost Burns on Sunday, and it looks pretty serious. It looked like he said, my elbow's dead. My elbow's done. Trying to read the lips there. It doesn't look good for Burns, and Arizona has played terribly. That win on Sunday was just their second in their last 10 games. They played awful. Washington, Arizona, Cincinnati, and Milwaukee are all ahead of Atlanta, and none of those teams are in the mix. So they've got eight teams to catch right now. I know it's only five games. I know there's 104 games left, 106 games left. No, 104 games left. They played 58. Boy, that's a lot of games to climb. That's a lot of teams to climb, a lot of games. Not that five's insurmountable. When you got to make up so many, leapfrog so many teams, minus 140 to miss, I think, is the play there. And again, they're only three games better than Miami, and then Pittsburgh, and then Colorado. Colorado at 9-50. Oh my goodness, we weren't doing the show. The market wasn't up when we were doing the show for Friday, but DraftKings posted an over under season wins, our monthly wins for the month of June. They put the Rockies over under at 9.5. The schedule's a little bit easier. They get the White Sox. They get the Marlins, they get some easier teams, but man, they go into the month with nine wins. They had nine wins in all of March, April, and May combined. Now they're expected to win 10 games. They are just dreadful, dreadful baseball team. You see the stats going around. Hunter Brown, the Astros pitcher, has eight wins. The Rockies have nine wins. Scotty Scheffler has three wins since like May 2nd. The Rockies have three wins since May 2nd. It's really just a complete embarrassment, but you got to figure out a way to bet against them and profit. They've actually played some close games the last week. Cubs beat them a bunch of one-run games and like a two-run game. Mets only beat them by a run or two a couple of these times, but they are just an absolutely dreadful, dreadful baseball team to say the least. They are now on an eight-game losing streak. So they beat the Yankees that Friday night a week or two ago, and they almost beat them a second time on that Sunday where they got a couple guys on against Weaver, couldn't get a hit, and they have not won since that Friday night a couple weeks ago. So as far as bets here, just going down the market, the one I mentioned, I like Atlanta minus 140 to miss. I don't mind the Red Sox plus 240 to make it. I do think they have some better baseball in them than they've showed. American League, this is one that FanDuel has. American League reliever of the year, which I didn't even know you could bet on until like a week or two ago. Munoz is the short shot, minus 125. He's odds on. First of all, a guy being odds on with 4 months to go is usually something you want to fade. There's just so much that can go wrong. He blew a game Friday for the Mariners. They were up three runs, two outs in the ninth, man on. He gives up a homer to cut it to one. Then he gives up a single and a double. And then he blows the game on Sunday. So him being odds on, I think he's off. The second shot is Mason Miller. He's been really bad. I don't think he should be the second favorite. Luke Weaver, I know, spent a month as a setup guy, so that's going to hurt his save numbers. But he's on possibly the one seed in the American League in the Yankees. He's a good story, a failed starter. The media seems to like him. He's 15-1 at FanDuel to be the reliever of the year. I think that's a good bet. I do think that's a really, really good bet. So check that out, FanDuel American League player, American League reliever of the year. As you're looking at these division odds, Yankees minus 475 here to win the East. They are probably going to run and hide here with the East, even if the Red Sox can get back in it. That's a lot of games to be made up. Yankees are right ahead of Toronto and Tampa. You don't really worry about them catching you. Tigers minus 230 to win the Central. I think they're probably – I don't totally trust the Tigers, but I think they're probably in good shape to win the Central. Like, who's going to catch them? Do you trust the Twins plus 450? Guardians are 8-1. Royals are 12-1. Would think about fading the Tigers, but I just don't know who to pick. It's the fact that three different teams could catch them. I don't know who to pick. Again, I don't completely trust Detroit. I don't love Detroit, but I'm not sure – you know, who would catch them. The Mariners plus 110 to win the West. It seems like a two-team race between them and the Astros. Unless you think Texas at 6-1, five out in the loss column, can get back into it. I don't mind the Texas bet again. I wish they could keep their team on the field. It seems like Seager every 10 minutes is going on the IL. Now Eovaldi, who's very, very underrated, is hurt. DeGrom, like I said, he's been good, but he hasn't been the unhittable DeGrom he was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, pre all of these injuries. You always have to hold your breath with him. So I don't mind Texas 6-1 to win the AL West. Am I cutting in line to bet it? No, but I don't mind taking a shot on that. NL East, again, probably a two-team race. Phillies are minus 110. Mets are plus 115. I know people are going to be tempted by Atlanta at 10-1 here, but yeah, that's just a lot of ground to make up. And it's not like you have to make up, you know, 9-10 games on one team. You got to make up 9-10 games on two teams. That's difficult. I think the 10-1 again. It's like Texas. I understand people taking a shot on it, but it's not. I don't think that's like mispriced at 10-1. I think that's probably the correct price. Cubs at -230 to win the Central. They're the rightful favorite. Cardinals have played well, but I don't buy them. Brewers always do more with less. They're four games over. The Reds were everybody's darling before the season. They're hanging around a couple games under 500. They're 20-1. That's probably the Cubs division to win. And then the Dodgers, for all of their issues, for all of their pitching injuries, Snell's hurt, Glasnow's hurt, Sasaki's been bad, and now he's hurt. All of these issues, all of these injuries, you look up, they're -900 to win a division. You have to risk $9 to win $1. The Padres have been awful lately. They can't hit. They're 11-1. Giants are not for real. Diamondbacks, this NL West is just not as good as we thought. The Diamondbacks have played terribly. Big time disappointment. Giants are coming back to the pack. I think they lack just some overall talent. And then the Padres, you think of them and you just think, oh man, there's a lot of names you recognize, a lot of talent. Machado and Bogarts and Tatis, and you go up and down the lineup. They're very aggressive, ownership, front office. The results have not been there. They have played, the bullpen's been bad. And Arizona, really, really disappointing. How about that game Saturday night? They were the home team, so they were pitching first. There were nine runs and two men on base before there was an out recorded against Washington. So if you bet every Nationals player to either get a hit or score a run, you cashed all nine bets in the first inning. I think Abrams got hit by the pitch twice in a first inning. He got hit by the pitch three times in the game. That's just one of the weirdest box scores, play by play, you'll ever see. The first 11 guys get on base. It was 9-0 before an out was recorded with two men on base. And the ironic thing of all of it, fought the starting pitcher for Arizona under 6.5 hits, cash, because six hits, but walks, hit by pitch. They actually took him out with six hits and however many runs allowed, nine, it ended up being 10 or 11. And that under, it's actually cash, which is a weird one. So AL reliever of the year, Weaver 15-1, Braves -140 to miss the playoffs. Those are the plays I like. I would understand Texas at 6-1. Again, I can't get to Atlanta at 10-1. I think Atlanta, if they got in, would be dangerous. I just think they've dug themselves a hole, which you could talk about, it's early. There's 100 games left. All of that is true. But I think it's like 75, 80% of teams that are in first place on June 1st, in first place on Memorial Day, do end up winning the division. So this is a pretty representative sample. And the +120 on Atlanta to make the playoffs is just not enough. Arizona's +245, Cincy's +650. That's again, everyone's darling. I don't know if I buy that. Red Sox are okay, +260. I think they just moved, and Rangers are +235. I don't mind those. I don't mind those. Toronto +175, I have no interest in. These are just to make the playoffs. So I could see Texas making a run. I could see Boston making a run. And I could see Atlanta making a run. I just don't think those numbers justify where they are in the standing. So excited to get some baseball talk in. We'll have a guest on Wednesday here, probably preview the finals. Be back to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the usual format. We'll see here now, to conclude here, to wrap up the picks. OKC to sweep +330 at FanDuel is a bet for me. So I don't have anyone to thank. Solo pod. It feels good to just ramble on for a little bit. I feel like sometimes on my own podcast, I don't get to talk as much. It's a lot of make the guests do the work. So about time I put some work in and just ramble on for a little bit, give my thoughts. So Knicks are out. Pacers, Oklahoma City final starts on Thursday. We got a Stanley Cup final. Maybe we'll spend some time on that, but we will be back Wednesday. Rate, review, subscribe. Apple, Spotify, goldboys.com is where you can find the Discord. See you Wednesday.